Welcome back to How to Tickle Yourself. I'm your host, Duff McDonald, along with my sidekick, Joey of Rockledge.
Hello.
As you can see, if you're looking at us, we'd have no guests today. That's because today is the occasion for the second annual version of one of the most popular episodes in the history of this podcast, Tickle Time with Joey Moss.
All right.
During the next 30-ish minutes or so, we will entertain you with stories of all the wonderful things that we have seen or done in our lives recently. We are going to share you the tickles of our existence, both as recommendations for you to explore yourselves, but also just as a testament to the philosophy of this podcast, How to Tickle Yourself, and of my book, Tickled, looking for the things that give you the tickle of your own existence that make you happy to be alive. So we've got a list each of us came to this program with. Maybe we can take a poll afterwards, see who's our more interesting. but without further ado, Joey, why don't you
Would you like me to start?
Why don't you start?
At the present moment, traveling town to town, the mystery of the motion, right here, right now. Right here, right now. Whoa, right here, right now.
It's going to be a spoiler, but most of my list is vegetables. So I'll start with number one, which is nasturtiums, our nasturtium leaves. So these are flowers I plant every year in the garden, and you can put them in salads. The flowers are edible and they're kind of spicy, like super delicious. And they're round. They're like, usually they're like this big, like a silver dollar. I guess I don't have silver dollars anymore, but like, you know, an inch to 2 inches in diameter. The ones we grew this year are like, they're like lily pads. They're like little tacos. So I've been using them like taco shells. So like sauteed mushrooms and boiled egg, a boiled egg with one of Rockledge's eggs with a little Momofuku chili crunch. Amazing.
And I agree with her. They've been delicious. We have had leaf pockets, leaf tacos.
I tried a leaf quesadilla. It didn't work so well.
I did a dipping leaf in a soup the other day.
Soup toppers.
All right. Well, I can counter that with a food of my own.
All right.
Chanterelles. So close friends of Rockledge may know that we are amateur foragers under the tutelage of the great Peter Barrett.
Thanks, Peter.
In the last couple of years, we've discovered that we have black trumpets growing on our land. We didn't find a lot of those this year, but we had a bumper crop of chanterelles. In fact, one time I was out looking for black trumpets, I gave up as I was walking home. I was thinking that was horrible. I didn't find any. And I looked down at my feet at that moment. I was surrounded by chanterelles. Joey's cooked them up in pasta, also sauteed them, put them on French bread. But my favorite meals of the summer were those pastas.
It's not just the eating part, like the, it's the collecting of the mushrooms is kind of thrilling too. I mean, I've found, I think too, you've got better mushroom eyes than I do.
Well, the best thing about chanterelles is they're bright orange. So it's not that if you're zeroed in, it's not that hard to spot them in the forest because they stand out like a sore thumb.
All right. So my second tickle is finding out what chickens don't eat. So, you know, our chickens have the run of our tennis court which is where our greenhouse dome is. And there are garden beds all around the edges of that. And I've had a hard time growing anything in those beds because the chickens will just eat anything I plant there. So I've been experimenting, and I discovered happily this year that they don't eat butternut squash. It's too fuzzy for them. So we have six little beautiful butternut squash that I'm going to cook up. So that was kind of thrilling because it was a roll of the dice. And the other thing that brought me equal joy was I have like a little field of parsley. So I took all of my parsley that had dried in the dome over the winter and just put it out there for the chickens to kind of pick around in. As it turns out, they don't eat it, and I have a field of parsley. That's great. Now I know. I should be good to go in like 15 years. At this rate, we'll have like, you know, 15 years, I'll have everything. It'll just be like a little food forest out there.
We'll have conducted the most expensive way to grow the cheapest food ever. It's all from seed plus a decade of investment. All right.
Patience.
Out on the tennis court. So, it was a tennis court. There's a treehouse, a dome, a chicken coop, and now a shed, which our old friend Billy was building for us before we got hung up by the building inspector for a little bit. We got our permit. We're putting that together now. Our friend Malcolm Fitch came up a while ago and helped me build two workbenches with a recessed table saw in between them in a moment of genius. Last weekend, we took the workshop that used to be in our garage that I couldn't get to anymore. We're moving it out to the shed. My fantasy of being able to use tools is about to be put to the test because it's the coolest workshop ever. And Joey and I have a his and hers, like a bathroom sink thing. We each have our own workbench. Keep shit off of mine.
I cleaned yours off today, just so you know.
and so that's been exciting. Last weekend, we were transporting some pegboard over there, and I was beside myself.
Yeah, it is. It is really exciting, I have to say. I never thought I'd be that excited about a workbench and a saw, but it's a thrill for
sure. Stop stealing my tickle.
It's not stealing. I'm just adding on. I'm just just adding my joy to yours. That's all. Okay. My next tickle is that we have now entered soup season. So it's thrilling for so many reasons. And my favorite soup is, I call it I Dream of Celery. And it is one full stalk of celery, like not just a stalk, but like the whole head, with one full onion and a piece of, or one full zucchini. And that's pretty much it. Some spices. And then you saute that and then add some stock and puree it. And it is, Duff, can you testify how good the soup is?
With a nasturtium lily pad on top of it with some stocked mushrooms.
Exactly.
It's a great soup.
Yeah.
Right? Sit there and think it's the best soup you've ever had.
And it's healthy and it's low calorie and it's delicious. And it's warm and comforting. There's nothing, it's like love in a cup. It's great.
So mixing things up here, our friend Rachel just bought a house not that far from us in Stone Ridge. It's beautiful. And, you know, in the city, if you tried to call someone a neighbor who lived that far away from you, people think you're crazy. She's now our neighbor.
Yep.
And we're beyond excited about it. We were, from what I hear, the first dinner guests at this house. So kind of on the VIP list. And we're just very excited to see more of her and to see someone else take a house up here and turn it into a home.
Yeah. And to play in her workshop, because she's got a crazy woodworking shop over there. I'm excited about that. I mean, that's not stealing your tickle. That's just, you know.
Sort of.
All right. My next one is elderberry anything. So we had a lot of elderberries this year. So I tried my first hand at elderberry jam. It came out so-so, but tasted delicious, but the consistency was a little, but it still tasted really good. So I've been adding sort of elderberry syrup to almost anything. And it's really good. It's got such a, like, such a great flavor. So elderberry anything is my tickle. Plus, it's supposed to be really good for your immune system. And we're going into that, you know, that time of year. So
don't tell me it's an antioxidant.
No, it's like it's good for your immune system. That's all I know. What's that called? I believe it is antioxidant, but you know, that's
so I'm going to take credit for this house's use of elderberries. And I'm going to tell you the following story. We make kombucha here at Rockledge Rasa. It's the greatest kombucha on earth. We try to grow the ingredients, but you know, when sourcing some stuff online, I was on this website, nuts.com, which sells a lot of dry fruit. And they had a sale for a pound of dried elderberries, and it's something like $9 or something. And I was like, yeah, sure. I don't even know what elderberries are, but let's do it. I didn't really know what a pound of dried elderberries was. It arrived, in a garbage bag.
We still have them. We've had them for like 2 years.
It was like a pillowcase full of elderberries, which basically started us down the road. Now we grow our own. In any case. All right. My next one is the current. So my current obsession reading wise, devoted listeners won't be surprised to hear it has to do with Vedantic scripture and philosophy. But I've been zeroing in on the Bhagavad Gita, which is also known as the Song of God, also known, it's one of the greatest things ever written. But there's a whole tradition of commentary in Indian philosophy and spirituality. So you can find 1,000 commentaries written on the Bhagavad Gita. The greatest book of all time, I think, might be Sri Aurobindo's Essays on the Gita. I read that for the fourth time a couple weeks ago. But I stumbled on another one called Bhagavad Gita, The Divine Message by Swami Abhidananda, who was a disciple of Sri Ramakrishna. And it is giving me all sorts of tickles that are different but equally profound to Sri Aurobindo. The other one of that we've read in this house is Yogananda's God Talks to Arjuna. Same thing. It's a 2-volume commentary on the Gita. And then I even have another one waiting in the wings when I'm done, this 2-volume one called Bhagavad Gita, An Exposition of the Gita in the Light of Modern Thought and Modern Needs. And it's 2 volumes too. So I never, before I stumbled into this whole realm, you know, unless I was working on a book about a subject, I never would have gone so deep into a single topic. And I realize now that that's the way to true understanding. The Gita, I'm going in, I'm doing the commentaries, and they're ticklish beyond belief.
All right. So my next one is Hot Brown's tail feathers. So our rooster is, his name is Hot Brown, and he's beautiful, but he's molting right now, which means he's getting a new set of feathers. So he drops all his old ones, and I keep finding these beautiful little plumes, and they're like this purple green color, and they're just gorgeous. So he looks terrible, but his tail feathers are amazing.
Tickle tail feathers.
Tickle. Yeah, they're ticklers.
All right. Moving right along. You know, we don't often give out shopping tips on this show. But
right?
I'm a sucker. You know, I'm not really a shopper, but I'm a sucker for... a good Instagram ad. I don't know what the hell it is about those people.
They've got your number.
They've got my number. So I like a lot of, you know, urban, suburban / rural guys of this era, like a good boot, that, you know, leather boots with good soles. And this company, Portland Leather, got me with a thing, $95 boots, which versus a Blundstone or something is like, you know, it's like 20, it's 75% off. So I ordered one pair, and then just to test it, I was like, I'm going to get it. And they're great. So I ordered another pair. So I got a pair of black and brown, beautiful boots that'll be great for up here, but also, you know, anywhere. And, you know, we always a little worried when you go for these social media, you know, sales pitches where it's like, is it what they say it is? And for $100 or $50 a boot, it's been a great deal. So there you go, people. Portland Leather, it's called. You can find them anywhere online.
All right, so you're going to think I'm stealing something of yours, but fireplace season. I'm pretty thrilled about fireplace season, and it's not on your list. fireplace season and the fact that we have maple, that you chopped up a maple tree, and so when we burn it, it smells like maple syrup. It's amazing. It's the coziest thing ever. So sorry to steal it.
That's fine. You know, I can do a related one. I'll do our wood pile. So last year we had a maple tree fall. I cut it up, split it, did the whole thing. I was very proud of myself. And one tree basically made us through the winter. This year I was dreading it because it took a long time. It's not that it wasn't enjoyable. It's just that it took forever. And I, you know, when we were growing up, we'd go out at our cottage. My dad would take us out in the woods. He'd cut down a tree and make us all carry it back. And it could be 200 yards back to the cottage. And the job for the morning was you were basically carrying logs back from the woods to the cottage. Here, I got nobody but me and you. And I just wasn't looking forward to it. So at some point in August, I think, I called our friend Ray and asked him if he could source me some good wood. He and his brother rolled in with three cords for us. I overestimated the capacity of our woodshed, and they dumped it on our lawn. And so we started moving it in. It was such a big pile. You know, we barely dented it. And then next thing I know, this has been the rainiest summer ever here. So then it's raining on this wood. I'm like, oh my God. So I had to rededicate to getting the wood stacked in the woodshed. We are four rows deep and with more bark than you know what to do with for starting it. It's the greatest woodshed stash we've ever had. Normally at some point like midwinter, I start to worry if we're going to run out, and that's a source of great anxiety for me. Like, what if it's, you know, mid-February and it's freezing, and was it last year when we lost power for 3 days?
Last February. Yeah.
February. Right.
And was it the year before?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Yeah.
So like, I worried that we're going to run out. We're not running out this year. It is so exciting. I like, people will come over here and I will make them come out and look at the wood with me. So it's tickling
it's
me.
True.
So that's fine.
All right. So I'm up. So for me, it's two-parter. One is meditation. My meditations have been, they just sort of took turned a corner. And I don't think I get into it too much, but it just brings me a lot of joy and peace. And I love it. Like, I want to do it a couple times a day. Like, I've been like, you know, doing like sneaking in a couple during the day. Just, you know, 5-10 minutes here and there. But I've also have wanted to start meditating very early. And
That's a copy.
So I have, for one reason or another, woke up and, you know, like 4:45, 4:50, 4:30, that time, like super early. And the other day I woke up and I was like, should I get up and meditate? It was 4:50. And I was like, I think I'm too sleepy. I can't get my eyes open. So I put on the Bhagavad Gita, which we listen to go to sleep. And when I put it on, Krishna, it was telling Arjuna, who is, you know, the two main characters there, that he really should get up and he should meditate, that he needed to meditate to be able to touch God and to have a still mind. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll get up and meditate. So I got up and meditated. And then once I finished meditating, I was still very sleepy. And I was like, maybe I'll just go back to bed. So I put the Bhagavad Gita back on, and Krishna came on again telling Arjuna, don't sleep too much, Arjuna. You need to do everything in moderation. So I didn't go back to sleep. I had a wonderful day. I went downstairs and I made a fresh batch of chai for you. Well, for me, but also for you, Corey Feldman. And Corey Feldman. So that's it. Krishna talking to me to tell me to meditate and also to tell me not to go back to sleep was pretty thrilling.
We're on video here. Put that cat on the floor. So, a couple years ago, we interviewed a woman named Courtney J, a singer-songwriter. At the end of the interview, she told me about this guy, Thad Cockrell, and his 2009 album called To Be Loved. And I recently rediscovered it and have been listening to it nonstop. If you want a piece of music that's joyous, but also just beautiful songs, check it out. To Be Loved, Thad Cockrell.
That's a good one. I played it during yoga the other day. I think those are all the tickles that come to mind for me.
I got a joint one. Listeners, we got bicycles in this house, and like everyone, we put on the quarantine 15, still trying to get it off. So we've been bicycling down to the Ashokan Reservoir, which is a couple miles from here, with as much regularity as we can muster. We don't consider ourselves cyclists. We consider ourselves bicyclers.
We don't have toe clips. The shoes. You need the shoes.
No, you
shoes
don't have the shoes. I bought Joey toe clips the other day because she was complaining, saying that I was faster because I had toe clips. But it's just that I'm better at bicycling. And there's a couple hills on our trip which are challenging. But we're getting cardio. We're a yoga household, and have been for years. We're getting our best cardio that we've gotten since we've been a couple doing bicycling down by the reservoir. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a beautiful ride. Like, I love it. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I guess the other thing that I find kind of ticklish, this will be my last one, is the raccoons. I know they're not necessarily desirable because they eat the corn and they'll kill chickens and they were using the cat door to come inside and eat cat food, but I still like that they're out there, and I like seeing them on the trail cam, and they're kind of thrilling. So the raccoons are kind of giving me a tickle.
So our friend Malcolm was here, I told you, working on our work shed, and he was staying downstairs, and he said he got up to go into the bathroom and he saw a raccoon behind the toilet in the bathroom. And his claim was that he wasn't sure what our policy on raccoons was, so he went back to bed. I told him the next day that our policy was no raccoons in the house. So we had to board up the cat door. So we had one of those cat doors that locks, right? And it's supposed to have the chip lock, you know, exit, no entry, and this kind of thing. But, you know, think of raccoons with their opposed thumbs. They basically were like punching their way through the door. So now we've got two cats who are just demanding to be let in and out all day long again. So one thing that would be very ticklish if someone could tell me what to do here, short of getting 32 and shooting these raccoons, McDonald would tell you to do.
A dog.
We're not getting a dog. Anyway, we'll those see. Are the tickles. Yeah, we end it with a thought of killing animals. We gotta do something. I was thinking maybe putting the cat door up on the upstairs.
I had that thought too, or maybe the back porch, just so they can at least get some shelter, right? If it's raining, I don't care if a raccoon goes on the back porch. There's no food, so they wouldn't be too interested.
So, all right. So those are the tickles, listeners.
What tickles you. Everyone should let us know. Yeah.
Send us a DM. DMs or emails to duffmcd@mac.com. We try to get through all the reader mail. We just heard last week that the archivists at the Bob Dylan Museum in Tulsa found a mailbag from 1966 of unopened fan mail.
It's amazing.
We open all of our fan mail here at How to Tickle Yourself.
That's true.
Rest assured, your letters aren't going into the void. All right. So I've got one for you. It's so good. So one of the really interesting things about Sanskrit, the language, is that we have the things too, like we were thinking of this last week, like three of the things they talk about, the infinite, they say it's immutable, immortal, immovable. Right. And those are all just the opposite of mutable, mortal, and movable. So we have a thing in English where you could put an A or sometimes something and it gives you the opposite of the word. But the Sanskrit, they do it all the time, right? There's vidya and avidya. And one of the one of my theories on Sanskrit is like basically Vedanta tells you you are the mirror of consciousness. You are the mirror. Or your body is the mirror. You are consciousness itself. And if you think about these Sanskrit words that go side by side, they cancel each other out. So you end up with nothing but the mirror, the A in the middle or the something, right? So I was reading this book, Bhagavad Gita, The Divine Message. And one of the lessons in there is that Krishna tells Arjuna is the doctrine of renunciation, right? And you have a right to the action, but not to the fruit, right? And you want to renounce your desires, surrender it all. So the doctrine of renunciation in Sanskrit is called tyagi. T-Y-A-G-I. And it's one of the two main thrusts of the Gita, right? And Sri Ramakrishna was telling this guy, Swami Abhedananda, he says, if you repeat the word tyagi, over and over and over again, if you listen, tyagi, 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 it's Gita, Gita, Gita. So buried in the name of the Bhagavad Gita is one of the main doctrines of it. Gita, 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 tyagi, tyagi, tyagi.
Interesting.
It's the same thing.
It's like his own little personal Bob project.
Right. Just stashing God stashing stuff in words on us. Right.
That's pretty good.
So we have to close out with Sri Aurobindo because he's the patron saint of How to Tickle Yourself, along with Bob Dylan and maybe Hot Brown. And one of the great lessons I've learned in the last couple of years since writing Tickled, basically since moving up here in quarantine, is that we talk too much, we think too much, and if you want to get in touch with the tickles, like, think about it. We're not talking about a tickle like someone tickling your armpit, right? We're talking about the tickle that you can feel inside you, the flutter at the heart of your existence, right? Food can tickle your tongue. Ideas tickle your brain. But just all underlying all of it is the, like, just sort of the basic awesomeness of being alive. And you can't really pick up on it if you're talking. If you're talking over top of stuff, especially explaining stuff to people, which used to be one of my great specialties, or if you can't quiet your mind, right? So if you're sitting there, even if you're quiet and you're all distracted by something, some thoughts about something, it's harder to pick up the tickle. So here's Sri Aurobindo talking about the tickle. He doesn't use the word, but we know that's what he's talking about. He says, cease inwardly from thought and word. Be motionless within you. Look upward into the light and outward into the vast cosmic consciousness that is around you. Be more and more one with the brightness and the vastness. Then truth will dawn on you from above and flow in on you from all around you.
Amen.
That's from Essays on the Gita, by the way. So
it's amazing.
Greatest book of all time. Again, just to repeat that. And if anyone wants any Aurobindo recommendations, please get in touch. I'd love to tell you. Well, I'll tell you to read all of it, but I'll tell you where to start too. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Joey of Rockledge.
Thank you, Dad.
Sister Dude, for being a constant tickle.
Yeah, bruv.
Thank you. Thank you, listeners. We appreciate you too. We'll be back in a week.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to How to Tickle Yourself with your host, Duff McDonald, and me, Joey of Rockledge. You can help us by liking, subscribing, and sharing this podcast with others. You can talk to us and see what else is happening on Instagram and Facebook at How to Tickle Yourself. This program was recorded in Studio B of the historic Rockledge Recording Studio. Right here, right now, our original 16-part theme music was written and recorded by the legendary Paul Reddick and Kyle Ferguson of the Sidemen, with Steve Mariner on bass and drums and in the mixing room. This podcast is produced and distributed by Storic Media. Our editor is Oscar Desiderio. Our producers are Kristen Verbitsky and Chuck LaBella. For more information, visit storicmedia.com. That's storicmedia.com.